Before I pray this morning, I was just struck by our Old Testament lesson, which I'm not preaching on this morning, but the stubbornness of Elisha to carry on and see the glory of the Lord. That Elisha, when Elijah told him, "Stay here," he said, "As the Lord lives, I will not leave you." He clung to him, and that clinging, he saw the glory of heaven revealed. I think there's a word for us in there about pressing into the word of the Lord, pressing into the presence of God, clinging to Jesus, and we will see his glory. We will see the glory of heaven revealed to us. So in that spirit, let's pray together. Oh Lord, show us your glory this morning. Reveal yourself to us. Reveal your deeper purposes for us. And give us the grace, O Holy Spirit, to strengthen our hearts, to firm up our minds, to put aside distractions, anxieties, the cares of the world, our own doubts, our own fears, to put them aside and to cling to you, Lord. For you have the words of eternal life. Where else can we go? We trust in you, Lord Jesus, and we ask that this morning your word would go forth and accomplish all that you've purposed for it in us, that it would not return to you empty, but it would do the work that you want to do this morning in our hearts. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. How we pray reflects what we believe. Not only that, how we pray shapes what we believe. There's an ancient principle of the church in Latin. It's called lex orandi, lex credendi. Maybe you've heard this before. The Anglican church has done a great work in carrying this principle into the modern age, whereas a lot of other churches have kind of lost the idea. But lex orandi, lex credendi means the law of prayer is the law of belief. Orandi is prayer, credendi is belief. So how we pray shapes what we believe. In our modern world, we kind of have it the opposite. What we believe informs how we pray. But the principle of the church has always been how we pray shapes our belief, shapes our theology, shapes our hearts to be more and more committed to the gospel that Jesus reveals. That's why the Anglican Church were so, we put such an emphasis on daily prayer rhythms of morning and evening prayer, and the Book of Common Prayer is such a great tool for that. If you don't have a rhythm of daily prayer in your life, I'd love to talk to you and help you to take some steps toward building a habit. Because how you pray reflects what you believe, and it shapes what you believe. And most often, I'm going to venture to say, our prayers are far too small. And our prayers reflect a theology that is far too small. And a picture and a vision of God and his work in the world that is far too small. Many of us have our list of intercessions, praying for those who are sick and in need. That's great. But if we're so narrowly focused on immediate needs in front of us, that we're reflecting our theology that's just thinking about the needs in front of us or material things in this world or our own troubles. I think Paul, in our letter to the Ephesians, would call upon us to broaden our vision, to open our hearts and minds to a much greater glory that God has revealed to us. And through the prayer that he prays for us, reflects and shapes a much deeper belief, a much bigger theology. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3. I would invite you to open up your Bible and follow along. I'm going to be focusing just on Paul's prayer for us that starts in verse 14. Of Ephesians chapter 3. This is a prayer that Paul is praying for Christians, for ordinary Christians like you and me, like the church in Ephesus, like us gathered here at St. Andrew's, Paul is praying this prayer for us. It's not actually a prayer for non-Christians. There are good times to pray for non-Christians. We need to be praying for the world, for those who don't believe. This is a prayer for Christians growing in Christ. And maybe you're familiar with the structure of the book of Ephesians, but briefly, Ephesians is kind of split into two halves. Chapters 1 through 3 talks about the glory of the gospel, the good news that's been revealed through Christ. That Paul says, God has chosen us from before the foundations of the world to receive an inheritance and the glory of God, that Jesus has come to make us who were dead in our sins and trespasses, he's made us alive in Christ. By grace we have been saved through faith, not of our own works so that anyone can boast, but all for the glory of God. And that Jesus, through his body on the cross, has broken down all the divisions between us, has made us one in Christ. He's brought peace to the far and to the near. Previously in chapter 3, Paul talks about how this mystery has been revealed to the Gentiles through him. So chapters 1 through 3 are about the glory of the gospel. Chapter 4 and 4 through 6 talks about, okay, now what? How do we apply this to Christian life? How do we take the glory of the gospel and bring it into our lives and how we live? So this prayer of chapter 3, starting verse 14, is the bridge between those two halves of Ephesians. So before Paul launches into, okay, how then shall we live? He's saying, all of the glorious gospel, everything he's talked about in chapters 1 through 3, the wonders of his love, the bringing from death to life, the bringing peace to the far and to the near, the mystery and the glory of the gospel. Paul's saying, I want this for you. I want all of this for you and your heart and in your life. He says, I'm on my knees before Almighty God, our Father, desperately asking for him to give the whole weight of this glorious gospel to you personally and to you, the church, corporately. So he's on his knees before the Father asking that everything he's talked about with the glory of the gospel would be applied to our hearts, that we might grow in this truth and grow from glory to glory. So starting in verse 16, Paul makes this prayer for us, for the church, in four petitions. And John Stott, in his commentary on this, talks about these four petitions as a staircase, or others have talked about it as a ladder, from glory to glory, ever going deeper into the glory that God has for us in our own hearts. So there are four petitions: that first, we would be strengthened with power; that second, that we would be rooted and grounded in love; third, that we would have strength to comprehend the incomprehensible love of God; and fourth, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. So I just want to briefly go through these four, that we might know the prayer that Paul's praying for us, and there, the deeper vision for the Christian life, the deeper belief in the glory of the gospel that is for us. That's what we're striving to know this morning. First, Paul prays that we would be strengthened with power. Verse 16, that according to the riches of God's glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That we might be strengthened implies that we are weak. It implies that we need strength. It's power through his Spirit, that through the Spirit we would be built up, fortified, empowered, and strengthened. That the Holy Spirit is the means of strength and the giver of strength. That the strength is not our own, but it's of the Spirit. It's not a quality we can claim for ourselves, but through the Spirit it becomes more and more part of us. And it's not as if I'm asking God to reinforce what little strength I already have. but asking him to experience the strength of God, who is all-sufficient, who dwells in me through his Spirit, that he might strengthen my heart, the inner being, the core of us. That idea of inner being is all that makes us who we are in our thoughts, our actions, our will, our feelings, our reactions to our experiences. In the core of who we are, may we be strengthened by the Spirit. And he goes on to say, this is so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We need to be strengthened in order that Christ might dwell in us. If we are not strengthened for this, I think it would overwhelm us, overpower us, overcome us. Paul is saying, would you be strengthened through the Spirit so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith? And we might think, don't all Christians have Christ in us already? Yes, absolutely. Everyone who can say Christ is Lord has Christ dwelling in them, has the Holy Spirit, but this is a matter of degrees. It's not we either have Christ or we don't. Christ is dwelling in us, and the Lord wants Christ in us to grow and grow and grow and take up more and more residency in our hearts. So the point is for us to grow in this grace of Christ dwelling in us, and for us to grow more and more in the assurance that he does dwell within us. The Greek word there for dwell talks not about a temporary stay, but a permanent habitation, a residing, a living, an indwelling Christ that's there in our hearts permanently through faith. And I think faith is that strengthening that's required for Christ to dwell in us. Christ dwells in our hearts through faith. So Paul's saying, may you be strengthened so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through this faith. Would that we have faith in the Lord and everything he has done for us, faith in the glorious gospel that is good news for us. Would we believe that? And have faith in our hearts so that all the weight of this gospel might dwell in us, that might be for us as Christ dwells in us. So the prayer here is that the Holy Spirit would give us the gift of faith more and more, and in doing so would strengthen our hearts more and more so that Jesus might dwell in us more and more. May you be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's the first petition. The second petition is that we might be rooted and grounded in love. That this indwelling Christ, through the faith that the Spirit gives us, would further root us and ground us in his love. Paul uses this pair of words, rooted and grounded. He's mixing architectural and agricultural metaphors there. So rooted is an agricultural metaphor. The prayer is, may we be deeply rooted in love, that may we have that depth in us that drinks deeply from the love of Christ, so that our lives may bear fruit. To grow our roots downward, that we might bear fruit upward. You know, a strong plant must have strong roots. And a strong Christian must be firmly rooted in the love of Christ that is for us, if we are going to bear fruit in this world. So may we be rooted in love. May we be grounded in love. This is the idea of having a firm foundation to build upon, that the love of Christ would be the foundation, the cornerstone on which our whole lives are built. In both of these ideas, there's the idea of growing and building, of a process of growth happening in our hearts that has a foundation, that's the love of Christ. that everything is dependent upon this one fact. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. This is not just a kid's song. It's a foundational reality of our lives. And everything we do is built upon this fact. That God loves you. That love is the foundation for the Christian life. The love that Jesus has for us, which then shapes the love we have for him and for others. This is everything our lives are built upon and dependent upon. His love. This is the stability and security out of which we can then grow, out of which we are then built up on that foundation. So the prayer is that may the glory of the gospel of Jesus so deeply root us in his love, so firmly ground us in his delight for us, that our whole lives are built up on this foundation. Third, then, continuing the theme of love, is that we would know Christ's love for us that surpasses knowledge. When you are rooted and grounded in this love, maybe, just maybe, you might have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. It's amazing what Paul is praying here, for us to know the unknowable. If something surpasses knowledge, means it's beyond our capacities to know. And Paul's saying, may you know this. May you comprehend the incomprehensible. May you know the unknowable. That we might have strength to comprehend that incomprehensible love of Christ for us. That's the prayer. That even when you are rooted and grounded in love, even when your whole life is built upon the love of Christ for you, you've only begun to scratch the surface. The breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ for us is so far beyond what we have the capacity to grasp. Us and with all the saints, maybe we can collectively come to some dim comprehension of this. Even so, Paul is saying, may you know this. May you know the unknowable. And he speaks of these different dimensions of love, the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. And I don't think we're meant to take these dimensions literally, but it's to express the vastness that's beyond our comprehension. But I think as Paul is bringing out these different dimensions of love, he's also calling out how many of us have this truncated view of the love of God. Maybe we're living in a two-dimensional reality of the love of God for us. That Paul's saying there's far more to this than you can know. Many of us, I think, are stuck in a two-dimensional idea of the love of God. We think, sure, God loves me. I can accept that. Maybe just like I love my family, or I love ice cream, or my favorite music. I love things. That must be how God loves me. Our love, stuck in that two dimensions, our love is tainted by sin. Our love is imperfect. Our love is always marked by selfishness, self-centeredness. God's love is not. God's love is so far beyond what we can comprehend. It's so much more perfect than we have the capacity to grasp or imagine. If we're living in two dimensions, God's love is in four dimensions. So Paul's telling us in this prayer that we haven't even really begun to understand the depths of God's love, the dimensions of his love for us in Christ. You know, that we think that the love of God is a glass of water that we drink, where Paul's saying, no, it's an ocean that you swim in. So far beyond what you have the capacity to know. Do you really know and believe that God loves you? I think this is the core issue that prevents many of us from growth in the gospel. That maybe we know this in one dimension or two dimensions, but we don't really know in the core inner being of who we are that God loves us with a perfect love, with a holy love, with an infinite, indescribable, incomprehensible love. You are loved. This is his prayer for us, that we would grow in Christ through knowing the unknowable love of God. And all of this is leading to the fourth petition, that we would be filled with the fullness of God. And I need to be honest with you. I struggle with this sentence. It feels too wonderful for me. It feels too far beyond what I am able to grasp at. That we would be filled with the fullness of God. The closest I can get is just that we are filled full with everything that God has for us in Christ. That we're filled full with everything he's been praying for, with the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. We're filled full with the faith that enables Christ to dwell in us. Filled full with the strength of the Holy Spirit in us. Filled with Christ, the one who is the fullness of him who fills all in all. That the universe is filled with the glory of the Lord. He's brought all of his glory to bear in you, to dwell in you, to fill you. To be filled with all the fullness of God. This is something that is aspirational. You know, I don't think we're going to fully experience this on this side of heaven, but only accomplished when we're fully united with Christ in glory. But our goal, our ultimate aim, is nothing less than this. To be filled with all the fullness of God. And so may this be part of our daily prayer and our constant aspiration. To be growing daily deeper into the fullness of God. Being transformed from glory to glory. Evermore knowing the love of God. Evermore deeply rooted and grounded in that love. Ever more strengthened by his Spirit, to be filled with all the fullness of God who dwells in us. This is Paul's prayer for us. This is him opening the doors of trying to get us to have a bigger vision of the glory that Jesus has for us. This is his prayer, and if this seems too much for us, if it seems too far out of reach, if it seems like, well, that's nice for Paul, I got my own problems here. Paul's calling you deeper. And he's reminding us who it is that we're praying to as he soars into this doxology to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. That he is the one who is able where we are not. He is the one whose capacity is far greater than we can ever ask, than we can think, than we can comprehend or imagine. Far more abundantly he wants to do in us than we think he can do in us. He is the Lord who works miracles in us, the God of the impossible. And if this vision of the Christian life feels so far out of reach, Paul says, remember who we're praying to. Remember who it is we worship and give glory to and who we're praising here. The God who is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or ever think. God's vision for your life is so much bigger than your vision for your life. It's so much bigger than you and I can imagine of what he has for us. He wants to fill you with the fullness of God. He wants to root you so deeply in his love that nothing can ever shake you out of it. He wants to give you such a deep security and a stability in your inner heart that no circumstances of the world can ever knock you down. That if you are a tree that has roots that go so deep, the storms of life will not break you. They may bend you, they may sway you, but you will not be broken when you are rooted deeply in the love of Christ for you. when you are filled with the fullness of God, when you are strengthened by His Spirit. God is the one who is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine. He has revealed His glory to us. He has brought the whole wonder of the gospel, the glory of Jesus Christ, and everything He's done for us, He's brought it to bear in our hearts. And He wants us to grow in that. He wants us to be formed in that. So all of this is an encouragement for us to pray this prayer, to pray deeply, so that our hearts and our minds are formed in this glory, that our belief is shaped by this glory, because the law of prayer is the law of belief. The more we pray these things, the more we might actually come to believe it. That's the goal, to believe this, to put all our faith in the God who's poured Himself out for us, who gives us far more abundantly than we can ever ask or think. To put all of our faith in Him and the work He's doing in us. To let our hearts be formed by this. To let our lives be transformed from glory to glory in this. And to Him be the glory in Christ Jesus and in the church throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.